Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? Today's topic is credits. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann.
It's great to be with you guys today. Me and Will have been looking forward to doing this episode ever since we started this podcast. Like we said at the end of last episode, we kind of touched a little bit on it. I would say, if you're going to talk about a specific topic in video game music, credits, it might be the strongest as far as musical quality across the board.
I 100% agree with you, Carl. That's one of the reasons I was so excited to do this, because immediately when we began to do a podcast, the number one episode in my mind that I really knew was going to be exciting and have a lot of quality music would definitely be a credits episode.
Definitely.
Because immediately I can think of so many just beautiful, beautiful pieces of music that serve as the music to be played during the end credits in multiple video games.
It's actually a little bit overwhelming of a topic, but the way we're treating this first, because like we said, we are definitely going to have at least a second credits episode, and maybe even a third.
But probably more.
The way we're treating this first credits is it's just going to be me and Will's personal favorite credits music, what we think is just the best credits music of all time.
Yeah, so you might have some concerns going into this episode, mainly because the roster for the music that we're playing might look more reminiscent of things from like our early episodes, where it's less diverse, it's less about finding different music that you may not have heard.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
feel
just
like
about what we personally really adore and think is just the best, without focusing on we can't do too much of this or that.
Exactly.
It's all about this is what we think is the best.
Yeah, and it's really okay, because I think we've kind of paid our dues. We've had enough variety in general on this podcast, and that's something we are always still going to strive to do. But for this type of an episode, I think in order to be genuine about it and to talk about the tracks we love the most, it just so happens that a lot of them are Mario-related and Koji Kondo-related. But that's just because we think those are the best credits music. So what you're hearing right now is from the game Mario Galaxy, Super Mario Galaxy, composed by Mahito Yokota for the Nintendo Wii.
I think this track is very beautiful. It perfectly captures, and we'll get to it later when we play some of the older Mario games, but mm-hmm. I think it perfectly recaptures that nostalgic, melancholy feeling after completing a fantastic Mario adventure.
Yeah, and the greatest thing about this credits theme is the very beginning. It's the main Mario Galaxy theme that plays at the title screen of the game, but there's something so rousing and powerful when you hear that at the very end of the game. It's just this is a perfect anthem to the game.
Well, and now, before, it was just one like line in unison with the horns and trumpets,
mm-hmm.
but now it has these string playing like sort of descending.
And I really like the new melodic material that comes right after that. Like the very first theme you heard right after that opening anthem was a brand new theme that you haven't heard in the game so far. And it just, there's something really, because it's, in my opinion, it's one of the better themes from the game, and it's cool that, again, and I guess not surprising that it comes from the credits music. So I feel like so many composers, there's this almost this tradition, and it's not just in video games, I think it's in movies and a lot of things, whereas you want to have like a really powerful, even you think about the classical tradition of a symphony, you want your last movement, you want your last thing the audience hear, you want just to leave them just in awe and just, you know, with a standing ovation. So I think that's really what happens with these video game composers, is they want to make sure their credits music just ends with a bang, and that definitely
right.
Happens a lot today.
Well,
so
I think on that note, especially with the conclusion of that piece, I think we should move on to our first track that we'll be going in depth on today.
Yes, definitely. So the first track we're going to talk about is from the game Super Mario Bros. 3, originally released for the NES, and this soundtrack was composed by Koji Kondo. Now, the version we're going to play today is actually from the SNES All-Stars version, and the reason we chose that is because I think you can hear the instruments sound a little prettier, obviously. They're 16-bit instruments, and I think you can hear the melodies and the harmonies a little bit crisper, and it's just a little bit more enjoyable to listen to, so that's why we picked that version. So here is Ending from Super Mario Bros. 3, composed by Koji Kondo.
Thank you. That was the ending and credits from Super Mario Bros. 3, composed by Koji Kondo.
Oh, man. I love the very beginning of this track. If you played the original Mario Brothers, you'd recognize it. He starts off with the original ending, but then he expands on it, and he makes it more of an elaborate idea, which is so brilliant. And that opening section is kind of sounds like a chorale as far as the part writing, but what I love about the new section, is that the bass goes to double time. So instead of dun, 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 which is, I don't know, there's something really exciting about it. And it's the perfect lead-in to the actual credits theme. So yeah, this track is actually, it starts with that ending theme, which is about 30 seconds, and then it goes into this. What you're hearing is the credits theme.
Yeah, I agree. I like both pieces of music, but you're right. It definitely does lead in very well into this, even though this type of music is like almost a completely different genre. But what I really like about this like ending credits mm-hmm. theme right here is I love how, because it was composed for the NES, I love how all the, I guess, instruments are doing very different things. You have the bass, which is doing that boom, 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 boom. And it's doing that sort of thing, and it's hitting all the right notes. And then you just have that melody in thirds going up and down. It's the harmony is almost so simple, and it's very, like I said, it's almost in thirds most of the time. But what's really neat about it is it actually, every note that the melody lands on it's perfect. It's almost like, because the harmony fits for every single note, and it doesn't feel strange. You don't have that sense of like, because for most things, if you just play like a third harmony, or like, it's not always third, sometimes it has different intervals, but if you just play that kind of simplistic harmony, sometimes it may feel a little bit just odd or a little bit too in your face. But this is just, it's so beautiful, and the balance of everything just really, it really blends really nicely together.
I think, yeah, what kind of piggybacking on what you were saying, it's another example of something that on paper it shouldn't work as well as it does. And it's just a testament to Koji's just innate ability, his gift for melody and harmony too. And just the way that you said, it's such a seemingly simple harmony and melody, but it works, like, the outcome is more than the sum of its parts. It's just one of those types of things where it shouldn't work as well as it does, but it does. And it's so incredibly catchy and just timeless. And one of my favorite things is just a really subtle chord that he throws in. And he does this again in a later song we're going to hear today, is that B augmented chord, because this song is in C major. Like most of Koji's Mario music is in C major. Obviously there's a lot of modulation and a lot of chromaticism and stuff, but that B augmented chord perfectly leads back into the one. And it's just a staple of his writing from this era. So that's one of my favorite little touches in this piece.
I agree. I think this is just very well done. And I think like a lot of this end credit music, it evokes this very melancholy, nostalgic mm-hmm. sound. And especially to me, for all this Mario end credits music, and they all sound different. Like, they don't sound, not everyone sounds compositionally the same.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But they all evoke that same emotion.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to talk about later on in this episode. We will talk a little bit more about some of the kind of similarities that we're drawing upon from all this music and in general credits music. And also we'll talk a little bit about the difference between why we called this episode credits and not ending, and just kind of the differences between those. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But the next track we're going to play is from a game called Star Fox 64, released for the Nintendo 64 in 1997. And this soundtrack was composed by Koji Kondo. He did have a little bit of help from Hajime Mukai in certain battle themes, but this ending credits is all Koji. So here is staff credits from Star Fox 64.
Thank you.
You're listening to the staff credits from Star Fox 64, composed by Koji Kondo. We're just going to fade it down and talk a little bit as this is playing. This is a fairly long piece. It's all in all, it's about 5 minutes or so, but most of this piece kind of takes themes that you've already heard from this game and does variations on them. The most striking, I guess, would be the first one, which is pretty much the ending mission theme.
Yeah, it's the mission accomplished.
And what's really effective theme. Right here, sorry to interrupt you, Will, but what you're hearing right now is it's the first time he's transitioning to the main Star Fox theme. And I think it's brilliant that he's starting with this B section, which is more of the darker section of the song. I think it's a good way to get back into it. So now we're going to get to the main theme right here.
What's nice about this is the way that this opening fanfare is played at the end, especially with that sort of march happening with the snare drum. This is sort of a different orchestration than you've ever heard.
Yeah, like it's different than when you first hear it in the opening of the game.
And what's really nice about that is, about this whole piece in general, is that it's taking these familiar melodic ideas, but it doesn't sound necessarily like it's just playing all these tracks that you've already heard before and like summing them up together. It flows really nicely, and maybe for the first time you're playing you may not even remember them, especially here.
Yeah. And then when this comes back again, it's just so epic.
It's very soaring.
I think in general that was one of the many strengths that Koji Kondo had, is his ability to write credits music like this and to take ideas and have this great almost overture of all the main themes and to tie them together and to do variations on them and to take things and move in different directions, to bring it back like this, how you're bringing back this piece again, you're changing it, you're slowing it down, you're emphasizing the emotional quality. And like we said earlier, with most of this credits music, it all has this feeling of like farewell and goodbye. But then this...
I want to hear this part right here. What's really nice about this is sort of the beginning of that mission accomplished, mm-hmm. but it's done so tastefully, all that dynamic contrast... And it's really suspenseful.
It's an incredibly emotional ending.
Right here.
Just hearing that lone string. Listen to how long that sustains.
I think that's one of the most iconic, beautiful endings to any thing I can think of. That na na.
Yeah, I mean, video game or otherwise.
That's just gorgeous.
And then the perfect classical, having the 1-5, 1-5 on the timpani and the strings. It's absolutely a classic ending. But yeah, that lone string on the left channel where it goes from nothing and then chords and then back to nothing. I don't know. It's really emotional. And I think what's crazy is because the game Star Fox kind of takes itself lightly. In a certain way, it has a kind of a fun feel. The music doesn't need to be this emotional, but it's one of those things where Koji doesn't know how to give anything less than 100%. So anything he worked on, especially in this kind of, maybe you consider like this like his heyday or like his creative peak, is that it doesn't matter what game he's working on, he's going to give it all of his heart. And it shows with this music, definitely.
Well, what I like about it is I feel this is very inspired by like film music, John mm-hmm. Williams. I've said that before when we played Star Fox 64 tracks. But what's so nice about this is he definitely has a very legitimate and competent sense of orchestration.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
If you were to put this to actual instruments, it's very well done. It's completely solid, which is what's so nice in what I imagine that for the tracks that he wrote for games like Mario Galaxy... It probably wasn't that difficult to transcribe into the full orchestral versions that you hear in the games.
In general, I think by that time, his skill of writing and thinking about the orchestration was so advanced. And I think over the time, you know, as he started writing for systems that had more channels and more technology, I think that's when his ability to have really strong orchestration kind of increased. You know, I think if he were to have to write a song like this in 1985, it probably wouldn't be as masterful as far as the orchestration. I think it's something that's a particular skill that I think has improved over time with him. But that's just, oh my gosh, it's such an effective piece.
I think it's so amazing how much of a chameleon he is when it comes to all the different types of music that he's able to write. You're able to hear his compositional style and his consistent ability to write fantastic melodies, but he does so many different things, and with this piece in particular, it has such a variety of emotions, and the way that it plays those themes in many different ways all feels very natural, and it feels mm-hmm. like it's telling a story and moving from point A to point B very naturally. And it actually works with the cinematics and what's happening sort of with the ending, the wrap up of the story of the game and all the visuals that you're seeing on the screen. It's a very beautiful sequence in general, and it's one of my personal favorite endings to any video game.
Yeah, and we're going to hear a lot more of this today from not just Koji, but especially Koji. I think the big tradition in video game credits is the idea of, I guess you would call it an overture, of the main themes, tying them together, kind of giving you a little summary. And it helps when you have that sort of farewell and goodbye. This is everything that we've gone through together. This is our journey. And I think no one was a master at that more than Koji. So that's something that we're going to hear a lot more of today, is the idea of stringing together a bunch of themes and just effortlessly putting them together in such a emotional way. So we're going to move on now. The next game is Metroid, and this came out for the NES as well as the Famicom Disk System.
And what I have to say about this track is the Famicom versions are far superior mm-hmm. to the NES soundtrack, because it had superior sounds, and like some of the mixing is a little bit different, so it doesn't quite sound as good as it did.
No, we are playing the Famicom Disk System version today.
Well, that's great then.
That's a nice surprise for you.
How'd you get the Famicom version?
It wasn't too hard. I have my ways.
This was composed by Hirokazu Tanaka, also known as Hip Tanaka. And this first Metroid soundtrack is very, very stellar. And this end credits theme, it's one of my personal favorites, especially from the NES days, because you don't get a lot of stuff like this back on the NES, especially for Nintendo games of this era, actually. It was a little bit less common. And what's really cool about this one is it starts and ends with this sort of common rhythmic and harmonic idea. It's really nice, and it sort of goes on a journey in the middle where it takes you a little bit out of the Metroid experience, mm-hmm, so it feels totally a little bit maybe more or silly or playful or just a little less serious than some of the other music in the game.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But it brings you back nicely, and it works as a credits theme because its main goal is to feel rousing and to give the player a sense of completion. I really love this piece of music. Let's check it out.
All right, here is Ending from Metroid, composed by Hirokazu Tanaka. That is the ending theme from Metroid. And I'm going to let Will kind of take the reins on this one, because I know this track is near and dear to his heart. So Will, what do you got to say about this track?
Thanks, Carl. What I really just love so much about this one, and even though this version is better, it's also apparent on the NES one that it's so full, and there's so many different things happening that are countering each other. To me, it's one of the most full. I'd say this and the Moon from DuckTales, I think, are the two like fullest NES, or in this case Famicom, tracks that I've ever heard.
I completely agree. That was one of the things when I listened to this, is I think it might be one of the fullest NES tracks I've ever heard. So I agree with you on that point.
What I really like about this is, like I said, it starts with those bookends that da-da-dun, and it has those very, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost of its own unique sound. It's very Metroid sounding. It sounds spacey and actiony and epic.
And I think it's really open too, because there's a lot of open fifths in the harmonies.
Exactly.
And generally, the harmonic content is so open, which for me really helps drive home the space, just epicness of the game and of this music.
Well, yeah, that's really nice. But what I like about this is when it starts to get into more of the da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da, and then that at that point it's moving in a different direction. But it starts to play these sort of themes. Like, it first plays the da 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 da. And what I love about that short, simple series of notes is it's played in almost about four, or somewhere between multiple contexts. And one of them is very soft and pretty. But then what's so cool at the end, when it has that da 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 da, and it's really fun, and you just want to shake and bop to it. It's still playing those da 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 da,
interspersed with all the more active parts.
It's really brilliant how it uses those, that simple series of notes in multiple contexts.
I think it's a great example of taking a really simple melody that when you first hear it, it honestly doesn't strike you that much. But when composers take something like that and keep using it, and through the use of repetition and contrast, make you, by the end of it, that's in your head, and you just, that's a brilliant melody. That's just, you go on this journey, not only in the game, but you go on a journey through listening to this piece of music, which is just, I don't know, it's so fitting for credits.
Well,
music.
What I like is there's a lot of suspense that happens with it. To me, there's a part where it plays these same chords about four times, I think, and then it goes into this section where you have this very moving, and it's constantly changing the rhythmic feels, which is another thing that's so interesting, because it has all these counter melodies. And another thing, some of the counter melodies are like repeating things that the melody just did, but it's in a different context. And it's just, it's really well done, and it's full, it's epic sounding, and it's just a lot of fun to listen to. So I always enjoyed listening to this track, and I do like how it starts and end on a similar note, and just rhythmically how, even if like it's playing different things at the beginning and end, but it has that similar, like you said, with the like the open fifth harmonies. What's really nice about that, in addition to that, it also keeps that similar rhythmic feel of the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it's really nice how it starts and ends on that same note.
Yeah, my opinion of this track has definitely changed over the years. I used to not think incredibly highly of it, mainly because of the middle most of this song. I felt like was so not Metroid, it was way too goofy, that for some reason I couldn't really take the rest of it seriously. But now listening to it, I really have a lot more respect for it, mainly because of how Willie said those bookends, the beginning and the end, how they contrast with the middle section. It is brilliant, and I think it definitely sounds like Hip Tanaka, which I think is one of the reasons why Will likes it so much. But in some ways, it might be his magnum opus, this ending theme. So we should probably move on now to the next game on our list is Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. Again, composed by Koji Kondo. This came out for the Super Nintendo. I think it was in 95, I believe. 95 or 6. And this is, like we said last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I think we played a track from this, and we said, oh, we thought it was one of the best games of all time. So yeah, this is definitely one of me and Will's personal favorite games. But here is the ending to Yoshi's Island. ¶¶ You're listening to the ending music from Yoshi's Island, composed by Koji Kondo. This is definitely, I think, the prettiest piece in this soundtrack, and that's really saying a lot, because the very first thing you hear in this game, the music box theme in the intro of this game, is incredibly beautiful and has that kind of typical 95-era Koji lullaby quality. And he kind of piggybacks off that idea in this credits theme, and even goes farther, and I feel like it's such an emotional farewell. And for so many of these games, I'll never forget. I just have them etched in my memory the first time I beat them. And there's something really sad about sitting there and just watching the credits, because you're sad that the journey's over, you know?
Right. I think with this one, what's so nice is it has all these different sections, and it's sort of builds up as it goes on, but it's just so emotional. It's this one's less reliant on like rhythmic and making you sort of happy and sad at the same time. This goes all out and just tugs at
and
your
heart.
And
it's so fitting too, because Yoshi is, or the stork is, delivering these babies. So it's definitely, it's good that it's more of a lullaby type of a song. So it just fits, it fits the game so well.
And I think another,
coming up here though, is just so gorgeous.
Well, another recurring theme in tracks like this in this game is that...
This part here.
Is that there's sort of a music box quality to it. So especially in the beginning of this one, some of the bass notes, like especially at the end of the cadences, they would like happen slightly late and they would start to slow down a little bit because they want it to give that sense of like someone cranking a music box and it slows down a little bit over time.
I love how that melody and chords change there for this very end section. And then this is so powerful, this part here. Oh my gosh, the theme from the ending of a level from Mario 1. And it's like, if you imagine back in the day, it's been 4 games since you've heard this. And talk about nostalgia. It's just such a great farewell to harken back to that old original Mario 1 theme. That's just the best way to end this game.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's a masterful track. We're going to move on now, change things up a little bit. This is a little bit of a variety from our very Koji-centric episode. This is the staff role to Sonic the Hedgehog 2, composed by Masato Nakamura. And the reason I wanted to put this on is because, like we said with a lot of these tracks, the tradition of credits themes is to have sort of this overture of to listen to all the music that you've heard in the game. And I think one of the most effective uses of that is in the first 2 Sonic games, through Masato's way, the way that he kind of has the little medley of all the tunes that you've heard. And so we'll listen to this track and then we'll talk a little bit about it after. Here's Staff Roll from Sonic 2. Such a perfect transition between all these songs, and I love the drum fills in between. There's just, I mean, you can't get better than this as far as drums on Sega, in my opinion. And then the choice here to go to a 2-player theme is very surprising, but so effective.
One thing that I have to note about this is that some of these songs were all changed so that they would have the same tempo,
yes,
which really helps them flow nicely together. And some of them, they need a little bit more with the fill to translate from one song to another.
Like, listen to how much faster Mystic Cave Zone is here.
But what's really cool is ones like that and a lot of the transitions where they just happen really seamlessly and they just fit together so nicely.
That's a great fill. And then here's another 2-player theme, too. Gosh, but yeah, all the tracks are the same tempo, so a lot of these tracks are so much faster than you heard them in the game, which, like, listen, now this went from a reggae to, like, almost a ska feel, because it's noticeably faster. That's a great fill. Yeah, something about this end medley of all these, it makes all of them stronger somehow. I don't know if it's the context or the excitement of just hearing the best part of each melody, but there's something that just elevates the quality of all these tracks.
I love the speed of this one, because this is in between the regular speed and like when you get the speed shoes in the level.
This is much more tempo. It's almost like more of an up-tempo swing, yeah. Makes everything more exciting. And then you have the Sonic theme right here.
I really like that fill before the Sonic theme, because that always lets you know that the Sonic theme is coming.
Exactly.
Like, do da do da do
da. Familiar Sonic fill. Yep. And this bass. How low that bass is with the combination of those twinkles. Yeah, that's a classic.
That's
classic
great.
Track.
That works so well.
It's a good variety from a lot of the other stuff we were playing. So, we're gonna now move on to another one of Will's favorite games and soundtracks. This is from Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past, again composed by Koji Kondo. Here is the credits. Let's take a listen. Another classic melancholy farewell song by Koji Kondo to end a phenomenal journey, a game such as Link to the Past. Now, something in the past, I never really gave this track the time of the day, because I feel like we've talked about in the past the piercing shrill quality of the string samples of the SNES, at least for the early games, and I feel like that's personified mostly in this one song. A lot of those really high string sounds just do not sound pleasing to the ear. So for me, that was kind of something that was hard for me to get past that. But when you listen to the music and try to ignore that, you can't say anything against this track.
What I really like is the mood completely changes, because before this track, there was a very fanfare-esque, rousing ending, which ended on a very happy... It had a lot of horns and brass in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very powerful and loud. And then the mood just changes. This whole piece is very slow-moving.
And then how he brings back the overworld theme here, but it's so slow. And the chords are slightly changed. There's slightly more color to some of the chords. Again, something about Koji bringing back his classic melodies is almost more emotional than anything I can think of as far as video game credits music.
I think that's one of the big payoffs, is because I feel like with him, with his NES days, he didn't need to make the songs as good and as catchy as they were. But one of the payoffs, I mean, there's many of them. I think it made the gameplay experience for those games better. But I think another really good after effect of it is now, years later, he's able to harken back to those themes, and it really services having a helpful, like, emotional ending to these games, and it really services the feeling of the player after they've completed this journey. So I think it's really nice that all those themes are so well done, and the way that he creates some of his end credits music, how it harkens back to it, and it all flows nicely.
And there's
nothing
just something so genuine that you can tell it's the same guy who who now is arranging this and bringing back an old theme that he wrote. And you can tell just the care that he puts into it. It's just, it wouldn't have the same effect if it was someone else doing it, you know?
What I like about that is that ending is it's very unlike the other endings that we've heard so far and that we will hear from him, because the variety of his influences, some come from jazz, ragtime. The Star Fox came from more of a movie soundtrack, like classical, loud orchestral, where this ends on just sort of like a, it's much more simple, and it just ends. It doesn't have any little colors after the fact, and it's not like going all out. It's just very simple, and it ends, and then that's that. And I really like the diversity in all these, and I think it's interesting how they're all able to conjure up that same emotion, and not just for like the practicality of, oh, well, I'm done with this adventure. That's kind of sad. But the music itself, it's all available. It's all using available musical techniques to create that emotion, that nostalgia, that melancholy feeling. And it's using completely different means of achieving that goal.
Yeah, I think that's another incredibly impressive thing, is he's able to get that, at least for me personally, he's able to get that emotional response so many times. Through so many games, he's able to just get cut right to the core and just hit me right in my heart. And it's like, it feels silly talking about it because we're just talking about video games, but I don't know what it is. But I'll never forget the time when I first beat, whether it was Yoshi's Island or Mario 64, so many of these great games, like he's able to just elevate the ending of the game to feel like more emotional than important than it actually is, because it is just a game. It is just something for fun. It's really not that important. But through, and that's one of the just amazing things about music, is its ability to elevate life and to just, I don't know, just create such a strong emotional responses. So, yeah, without getting too sappy, we should probably move on here. So now we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to move on to Mario Kart 64. So this was, again, composed by Kenta Nagata for the Nintendo 64. And this is the credits theme. It is called Victory Lap. Here we go. Victory Lap from Mario Kart 64, and this section here is definitely the more emotional section, and it has the nice deceptive cadence, the minor key, but the A section is my personal favorite part. I love that piano line, that's part, doom, doom, doom. I love how that's working with the melody. It's, again, it's such a simple motif, but to hear it in the context of different chords and different melodies is one of those things we kind of talked about with that Hip Tanaka track, where you take this simple motif, but through repetition and through contrast, you elevate it, and you make it almost more, like, is the best that it could possibly be.
And I mean, a lot of these things that we're talking about, these musical tools, they're not specific to this type of music or video games or anything, but I just think it's very interesting how these different composers, and sometimes the similar composers, are using these a similar palette in what they're in what they're choosing to evoke
in order to create that emotional response, that very similar emotional response, which is the feeling of farewell, nostalgia, slight melancholy. At least in a lot of these tracks we're playing today, some, you know, we're able to see that at least a few different composers are able to draw similar tools in order to create that same emotion.
I think this is very well done. I also kind of like how you hear that, which is, it's subtle, but it actually, it's very reminiscent, and all these instruments are reminiscent of the opening to Mario 64.
Oh, yep, definitely, yeah. This is definitely the most emotional Mario Kart ending. Can you imagine if we played the Mario Kart Wii ending?
I probably doesn't have an ending.
Oh, man. I think it probably does. It's probably just like...
Yeah, oh gosh.
That's my impression of Mario Kart Wii.
And Mario Kart 7.
Just in general, modern Mario Kart games. Okay, now it is very exciting. We are going to move on to our track of the week. Oh my gosh, this is... I know, I've known for a long time that I think this is Will's favorite piece of video game music, I think, of all time. And it's... It might have to be mine as well. I know, I feel like we've kind of said that so much on this podcast, but I feel like it's never been quite as true as this piece. This is from Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo, composed by Koji Kondo. And
I really feel like everything that we've said today, all those techniques, whether they're used in this or not, this is definitely accumulation of like, this is perfect. It's done perfectly. It has these multiple movements. It takes a theme and idea. It works with it. It definitely gives you a feel of melancholiness and nostalgia.
And what's great is it gives you this roller coaster of emotions too, whether it's incredibly happy to really sad. I think it's definitely the best credits music of all time. And one of the things that makes it more impressive is that there's very little content as far as melodically. There's pretty much two sections, and it's almost funny how long this repeats and how many times he repeats this melody and this credits theme. So by the end of it, if it's not in your head, something's wrong with you.
What's great about it though is it doesn't feel like copy and paste, because it's adding things and it's using. What's so cool is it actually feels like, with some of the things, all this music is great, but even if there's a couple seconds here and there where it's like not like perfect or not completely wonderful, amazing, this doesn't have any moments where it's not, in my opinion, just flawless. And everything about it just comes together, and it's a masterpiece, in my opinion.
Without further ado, here is credits from Super Mario World.
Thank you.
That was the credits from Super Mario World. And like I said, it almost makes you laugh how many times it repeats and how long it is. But, oh my gosh. One thing that's just remarkable is you notice he, obviously, there's three kind of different sections, the way that the melody has a variation. It starts off with that kind of swung jazz feel and then goes to the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, more of like a bonus stage feel. And then it goes to the really soft kind of, just very briefly, kind of melancholy feel. But the way that he changes just the first couple notes on the from the dun-dun-dun-dun to dun-dun-dun-dun, like, that's so powerful. That slight change is just, I don't know what it is about it, but it gets me every time. And I'll never forget the first time I beat this game and I listened to that. Just the difference between the dun 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 to the dun 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 dun. There's just something epic about it for some reason to me.
Well, and what's happening with the harmony is a little bit different too. And what I love, how I mentioned earlier, how I think this is perfect, is every note that's being played at every second, I think, is so pleasing to the ears. Mm-hmm. And I could almost just, I could listen to this forever, on loop forever. It's one of my favorite pieces of music. And
in addition to that, I think it's the happiest video game music I can think of. I can't think of a track that's as happy as this. But at the same time, it has that nostalgic, like, oh, I'm sad this journey, I'm sad this game is over.
Oh, I mean, the first time I heard this, this in conjunction with Super Mario 64, the first time I ever heard these, I cried listening to both of them. And that's not, I'm not joking there. I think Carl was there for one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you were pretty young, so, you know,
but
keep that in mind.
I think it's so impressive how just music,
yep,
just a combination of notes and rhythms and sounds are able to create such a fantastic emotional response. And truthfully, this is some of the best examples I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And again, like we said in the Mario 3 ending, he uses that B augmented chord to more effect in this piece. It's like the chord right before going back to the one. I don't know. There's just something so incredibly effective about that one chord to lead back into a major one. It's great. And then the key change when it goes din 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 din, that one time, and then a key change at the very end. As if it wasn't like
happy. And then
what's
great
enough
is then when it does the key change, it starts with the da 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 da,
yep,
ba 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 da. And then what's happening with the harmonies is just so crucial and perfect.
And it's a little bit more, it's more of a spoiler when you're listening to it on iTunes and you can see the remaining seconds. But when you're playing the game, I always like to make bets. Okay, is this the last time of da 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 da? But I always get it wrong. It always goes on for like one or two more times than I expect. So, yeah. We're going to move on now. Man, we're definitely kind of nerding out about that track a little bit. But this is from Donkey Kong Country, composed by David Wise. And this is Credits Concerto. Here we go. Credits Concerto from Donkey Kong Country, composed by David Wise. This is a very simple, very pretty piece. It's not trying to do a lot. It's a little bit kind of humble, but again, it evokes that same nostalgic, melancholy feeling. And I love the pedal tone that the bass has. It's just that one note with the changing chords. And I also love what the drums are doing, that toot, 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 ka, 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 that echo. That's just really powerful. In general, David, he's so good at that atmospheric, vibey type of electronic kind of music that he got with these soundtracks, with the phase effects and the pads and the echoing, delaying type of percussion. I don't know. It's a perfect kind of representation of some of the techniques he was using in this game. And it's very pretty. It's very pleasing to the ears. It fits really well.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would say, maybe this is a little off topic, but in the future Donkey Kong Country games, the music isn't fantastic, but I do think in a lot of levels they are able to capture that sort of spacey, atmospheric nature, and it is Retro Studios, which actually is comprised of some people who used to work for Rare.
That's true.
So, a lot of the music, like that sort of ambient, it sounds more like Metroid Prime ambience.
Yeah.
But it does sort of evoke some of this sort of sound from Donkey Kong Country with David Wise.
Yep, I agree. So we're going to move on now to our last track that we're actually going to play and talk about. This is Super Mario 64, composed by Koji Kondo. This was obviously the launch game of a generation. This was the game that started the Nintendo 64 and pretty much started 3D platforming for all intents and purposes.
3D everything, I'd mm-hmm. say. Like, mm-hmm. Even people who say, oh, all your first-person shooters, Doom and whatnot, this is the first game, because that wasn't real legitimate 3D.
I think
3D.
The real way to compare it is play Doom nowadays and see how much fun you have with the controls. Then play this game and see how much fun. It still holds up. I mean, the first game to have a camera system pretty much, and it's pretty dang good, and the level design is amazing, and it's so fun. And the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. And one thing I loved about the soundtrack in general, and it's personified really well in this credits theme, is compared to Koji's earlier 16-bit and 8-bit work, it's a lot simpler on the chord department. It's more pop music and not as much jazz pop music. There is one track that's kind of bluegrassy, and there's a little bit of jazz influence, but in general, it's a little more simple, and the melodies really shine and take center stage almost more than they ever did before, and that's definitely the case with this track. This is Staff Roll from Mario 64. Staff Roll from Super Mario 64. I love that chorus, and it's built up for the B section. The B section gets a lot more sad and kind of vibey with those delay piano sounds coming up right here. And what is nice about it is it's kind of paying homage back to the Dire Dire Docks water theme. because when you first see the credits, when this part comes up, it goes to the water level. So this is kind of like giving you, okay, remember the water feel, but then the chorus is just, listen to this, it's just ultimate payoff here. And I think this chorus was the part that Will was talking about, where when he listened to this as a kid, it brought a tear to his eye. And it's totally
more than just a tear.
A few tears.
Yeah. It's a plethora of tears.
It's just, he has this innate ability. It's like, what is it about those simple chords, simple melody? Everything is so simple, but it's just timeless and just so emotional.
Well, I think
this ending is so effective.
The simplicity is a little bit of a facade. It's not...
And here, I think this is
gorgeous.
This is maybe the best use of a minor four in video games. That's like a textbook.
A-plus.
Yeah.
You know what I love? Koji's endings. Like, I love everything about this piece. It's so effective for so many reasons, and you were describing like it's very simple, but I feel that simplicity, a lot of like naysayers of Kondo's music and a lot of these people that criticize John Williams, or I feel like there's kind of a vendetta against composers in general who create catchy melodies and create music that's very melodic and melody driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think that creating something simple that works and is catchy takes a lot more thought and creativity than something like Credits Concerto, which is a good piece of music and it works, but it's more ambient. And just because it sounds maybe a little bit more adult, that doesn't make it a better piece of music.
I think
by
this
any means.
Is so much more timeless. And not to kind of say anything against Credits Concerto, but I just in general, this is such a timeless piece of music. And I know some people disagree with our notion, how we talked a little bit about maybe in our episode 10 about the thought of translating this music to the piano and just sort of a way to judge this music. But I really kind of stand by that, and maybe that's just my personal aesthetic. But if you take this song, print out the sheet music, go to a piano. And even if someone's, happens to be walking by, just see what reaction you get from someone hearing the song.
Well, and I think a common reaction to that would be like, well, you're saying a piece of music is only good if, like, when it's written out and you play it on a piano. I'm not saying that. But for this type of music, video game music, it's going for this. It's going for mm-hmm. melodies and harmonies and catchiness. It's not going for experimental, strange.
Yep.
And some of it is, but obviously that's not what we're talking about. So
exactly.
When we're judging a piece of music and we're saying translating it to the piano, we're not saying every piece of music for any genre. But when it comes to this type of video game music, this is what they're going for.
I think
success on that standard, on how well does it translate over, and what was their thought when they were creating the chords and the melodies.
And in general, I think if there's any genre of music that you should judge it in that way, it is video game music, because video game music was born from catchy melodies. If it wasn't for those catchy melodies, I don't think video games would exist nowadays. If it wasn't for the Koji Kondos of the world, I don't think anyone would be playing video games. I mean, that might be kind of a crazy assertion that some people might not agree with, but the success, maybe I'll at least just say this, the success of a lot of the early video games and what propelled it into what a huge market that it is today is largely due to the high-quality, catchy melodies.
Well, and just to become such a huge part of pop culture.
Exactly.
That melody, that Mario 1 melody, everyone knows it, whether you play video games or not. Paul McCartney knows it, and he knew it back in, like, the 80s. Like, it's the... It's a powerful way to get in people's heads, and I think Carl's right. Mm. It's especially Koji Kondo. He creates these melodies that are infectious, catchy, inviting, and I don't get sick of it, and it's not the type of thing where it gets old quickly. Like the games that he composes for, I think it all just creates this one experience that people just want to play, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And if you're not a fan of Koji Kondo, you know, luckily this episode is pretty much wrapped now. So, you know, hopefully this will be just maybe one episode that you're, you know, you can just maybe take a little break if you're not a huge fan of Koji. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's obvious that where our tastes lie and what really resonates with us. So I think it was important that we played the credits music that we just loved. And I think that's what we did today. We just played what we thought is the best credits music. Yeah. And it's really such a rich tradition in video games as far as credits music. And I think we're definitely going to do another credits episode in the future for sure.
And even if we could have 50 episodes and not play the type of music that you'd want us to play. But the point is, we may play credits music in other categories. It's just, This is our personal favorite in what we think is effective and has a good melody. And I personally don't, I really don't want to get into the position with this podcast where it becomes political and we're doing things based on, well, we've done too much of this composer. Mm-hmm. Or we should do more from this system, or these people might not be
happy. In
general,
just to give you guys a little kind of glimpse into our world, what we want from this podcast, our goal for this podcast, is just to play stuff that resonates with us, that we love and that we want to talk about. But B, we really want this podcast hopefully to turn into the best video game music podcast out there. I mean, that's our ultimate goal, is for this to be the best source for just like talking and discussing and just paying respect to classic video game music. So, and I think the only way we can really be true to ourselves and do that is if we talk about music that we love, and we have to kind of be honest. And I think there are going to be some people that don't always like it, and I think that's okay. And hopefully with this podcast, there's some music that, let's say, for example, you're not a big Koji fan. Hopefully there were some other episodes of ours that you maybe hopefully really did enjoy. So I think that's always something to keep in mind, is I think we want to try to please as many people as we can while being true to ourselves. So,
because we want to give you the very best experience that you can listen to, and the only way for us to do that is to be true to what we personally like.
And because you can hear the difference when we're really invested in something and have a lot to say and our hearts are behind it, versus that not being the case.
I think that's the give or take here, is there's certain episodes where we may play music that a lot of people have requested, but if we're not digging it, we're not gonna give the best feedback.
And sometimes that's okay, and I think we will continue to do that, and we don't need to always talk a lot about tracks, which is something that, you know, in general it's okay to not talk. I think a lot of people just like hearing video game music, and that's totally cool. So I kind of like the idea of kind of having different types of episodes geared towards different things, you know, like whether it's a show and tell versus a, you know, theory and analysis. There's a lot of variety, and I think there can be a lot of variety in the future. So that's something I kind of look forward to. But,
well, I mean, that being said, I really hope that you guys did enjoy this from the bottom of my heart. This is some of my personal favorite music. And I mean, I was very invested, and I wanted to wait a while before we did this episode, especially because our first two episodes were very
so Koji-ish.
Were like this, where they were very one-sided, and they a lot of the same people.
Oh, and in general, no one is more aware than us how incredibly, I guess, biased we are towards Mario and Koji Kondo. So I know there's probably people out there that may be shaking their heads, but we are definitely aware of how biased we are, and that's just something that it's hard for us to contain that. But anyway, moving along here, just to kind of wrap things up, next week I'm really excited. Kind of a nice change of pace, kind of the perfect episode to follow this one up. We're actually doing an episode on Yuzo Koshiro. We talked about it for a while in our Ease episode and in various episodes. We're finally going to have our first spotlight on one specific composer. So that should be really a lot of fun. And for me, researching not only the guy's music, but his life and his story and his history, it's just a really unique case, and I just think it's going to be a really great episode next week. So I look forward to that.
Look forward to that next week, Yuzo Koshiro. And again, God bless everybody. We really hope you enjoyed this week. Have a great week, and we look forward to doing this again next week. Thanks for listening, and feel free to give comments on our blog, and continue to, you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all that stuff. But we really do appreciate support and feedback.
Yep. So we're going to play you out with the ending from Out of This World, composed by Jean-François Freitas. Peace out, guys. Talk to you next week.